Wordless people entered my room twice the next day, bringing me a light almond-style breakfast and soup for lunch. I spoke to the second one, my voice was better, asking where Madding and the others were. The person did not answer. No one else appeared in the interim, so I listened at the door a while, trying to determine whether there were guards outside and whether there was any pattern to the movement I could hear in the halls beyond. My chances of escaping, alone, from a house full of fanatics without even a stick to help me find my way, were slim, but that was no reason not to try. I was fiddling with the thick glassed window when the door opened behind me and someone small came in. I straightened without guilt. They weren't stupid. They expected me to try and escape, at least for the first few days or so. True Etempans were nothing if not rational. "My name is John," said a young woman, surprising me by speaking. She sounded younger than me, maybe in her teens. There was something about her voice that suggested innocence, or maybe enthusiasm. "You are Ree?" "Yes," I said. She had not given a family name, I noticed. Neither had Hado the night before. So neither did I. A small, safe battle. "I'm pleased to meet you." My throat felt better, thank the gods. She seemed pleased by my attempt at politeness.
"The Master of Initiates, Master Hado, whom you met, says I'm to give you anything you need," she said. "I can take you to the bath now, and I've brought some fresh clothing."
There was the faint pluff of a pile of cloth being deposited.
"Nothing fancy, I'm afraid. We live simply here."
"I see," I said. "You're an initiate too?"
"Yes."
She came closer, and I guessed that she was staring at my eyes.
"Was that a guess, or did you sense it somehow? I've heard that blind people can pick up on things normal people can't."
I tried not to sigh. "It was a guess."
"Oh."
She sounded disappointed, but recovered quickly.
"You're feeling better today, I see. You slept for 2 whole days after they brought you out of the empty."
2 days? But something else caught my attention. "The empty?"
"The place our Nightbree sends the worst blasphemers against the Bright,"
Jaunt said. She had dropped her voice, her tone full of dread.
"Is it as terrible as they say?"
"You mean that place beyond the holes?" I remembered being unable to breathe, unable to scream. "It was terrible," I said softly.
"Then it's fortunate the Nightbree was merciful. What did you do?"
"Do?"
"To cause him to put you there."
At this, fury lanced down my spine. "I did nothing. I was with my friends when this Nightbree of yours attacked us. I was kidnapped and brought here against my will. And my friends..." I almost choked as I realized. "For all I know, they're still in that awful place." To my surprise, Jaunt made a compassionate sound and patted my hand.
"It's all right. If they aren't blasphemers, he'll bring them out before too much harm is done. Now, shall we go to the baths?"
Jaunt took my arm to lead me while I shuffled along, moving slowly since I had no walking stick to help me gauge floor obstacles. Meanwhile, I mulled over the tidbits of information Jaunt had tossed at my feet. They might call their new members initiates instead of order keepers, and they might use strange magic, but in every other way, these new lights seemed much like the Order of Etempus, right down to the same high-handed ways. Which made me wonder why the Order hadn't yet broken them up. It was one thing to permit the worship of godlings. There was a certain pragmatism in that. But another faith dedicated to Bright Etempus? That was messy. Confusing to the lay folk. What if the lights began to build their own white halls, collect their own offerings, deploy their own order keepers? That would violate every tenet of the Bright. The light's very existence invited chaos. What made even less sense was that the Aramari allowed it. Their clan's founder, Shahar Aramari, had once been his most favorite priestess. The Order was their mouthpiece. I could not see how it benefited them to allow a rival voice to exist. Then a thought. Maybe the Aramari don't know. I was distracted from this when we entered an open room filled with warm humidity and the sound of water. The bath chamber.
"Do you wash first?"
John asked. She guided me to a washing area. I could smell the soap.
"I don't know anything about Mauro customs."
"Not very different from Amon," I said, wondering why she cared. I explored and found a shelf bearing soap, fresh sponges, and a wide bowl of steaming water. Hot. A treat. I pulled off my clothes and draped them over the rack I found along the shelf's edge, then sat down to scrub myself. We're Cenobite too, after all.
Since the Night Lord destroyed the Marrowland, she said, and then gasped. Oh, darkness. I'm sorry.
Why? I shrugged, putting down the sponge. Mentioning it won't make it happen again. I found a flask beside it, which I opened and sniffed. Shampoo. Astringent. Not ideal for Marona hair, but it would have to do.
Well, yes, but to remind you of such a horror.
It happened to my ancestors, not to me. I don't forget. We never forget. But there's more to the Marona than some long-ago tragedy. I rinsed myself with the bowl and sighed, turning to her. Which way is the soak? She took my hand again and led me to a huge wooden tub. The bottom was metal, heated by a fire underneath. I had to use steps built into the side to climb in. The water was cooler than I liked, and unscented, though at least it smelled clean. Madding's pools had always been just right. Enough of that, I told myself sharply as my eyes stung with the warning of tears. You can't do him any good if you don't figure out how to get out of here. Jaunt came with me, leaning against the side of the tub. I wished she would go away, but I suppose part of her role was to act as my guard as well as my guide.
The Marona have always honored Etempus first among the three, just like we Amun, she said. You don't worship any of the lesser gods, isn't that right?
Her phrasing warned me immediately. I had met her type before. Not all mortals were happy that the godlings had come. I had never understood their thinking because, until recently, I had assumed Bright Etempus had changed his mind about the interdiction.